1515 now probably presents the Elimination Chamber / RBU podcast. It is your favorite tag team partners, me, Stir the Pro.
And Smilla.
And we're going to start off with the Elimination Chamber. Just knock that out the way real quick. That took place this past weekend in Las Vegas. Sin City, baby.
I've been twice.
Yeah, remember that time we went and you seen that dude?
I was car collecting.
Now remember that dude? He ordered one of them things to come to his room. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
yeah. He got him one of those. Yeah, man. Fun place though. A lot to do. Yeah. You know, it's more to do than just gambling. Some people don't realize that, but it's way more to do than just gambling. And stuff. They offer so many shows, so many just different things to do.
Right. And then not only that, the only thing for me, though, is whenever they run Las Vegas, because even ROH, when they run Las Vegas, for me, it's kind of weird because I think you get a lot more casual fans than you usually do because you have a lot of tourists.
Yeah.
So the crowd is always a lot different. Not that there's not fans in the Las Vegas area or Nevada area that'll go, just that the mix of casual fans, you know, somebody who's just like looking for something to do because they're there, is a lot higher. So then the crowd it's weird to me. It's a weird dynamic.
I felt like the crowd was lit though. I felt like they was on it. They was on it.
Yeah, no, they were. It was just you know, sometimes in some cities when there's the, you know, let's go Cena sucks chants, sometimes this let's go Cena chants are real faint. And like, but you know, when there's casual fans, it's really back and forth. That's what I mean. Like the crowd dynamic is so different because I feel like there's more people who are the John Cena casual fans. Like that's how I know WWE, so that's who I'm cheering for, than the usual I'm there because, you know, I love wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same for ROH. You get a lot more people cheering for, you know, the craziness because they're not familiar with all the characters because they're casual fans, because they just happen to be in town and, oh, there's wrestling. Let's go to that, babe, and get drunk. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how they do.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, Vegas is fun. I recommend hitting it up and shit. What hotel were we at? The Rio, or is it the Riviera that had the seafood? I want to say the Rio. They had
the shark.
Yeah, that shark was good.
Man, it was. It was like steak.
Yeah. And of course, that was like the only thing I could really eat anyway.
Right. Without, you know, a whole bunch of Benadryl.
Right. You know what I mean? Without being drugged up, shit, because y'all would have taken me to the hospital. Shit. But yeah, man, Vegas is fun, man. If you've never been, go. You enjoy yourself and shit. I recommend hitting up one of those shows. I think another thing, too, is interesting and is fun, really, is just going to some of the other different hotels and just seeing how they look on the inside. Because it is an attraction. So I recommend when you go there, just do that. You know, and you're going to have some people standing on them corners, flicking them cards, trying to get you an escort. I tell you, stay away. I recommend that you stay away. You know, you don't want to run into no Enzo situation. You know, Enzo, he like, you know, his hoes, they do drugs. That's how you like them. Damn, man, I should stop making these jokes, man. I should stop. And some of y'all, all right, that's actually a song, too, you know, by Chicago's own King Louie and shit, with Pusha T, and Juicy J is on that track.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my song and shit. So he has a song called My Hoes, They Do Drugs. But even though they do drugs, he lets you know that he don't trust them. He tell you from the jump, can't trust shawty, can't trust them. Why? Because my hoes, they do drugs. But anyway, Moving on. You saw the kickoff match, right?
You talking about Luke Gallows against Mistrash?
Yes.
I did. I mean, it wasn't anything special at all. It was a match.
All right. So, anything about this match? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it just,
The Luke Gallows Carl Anderson match?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson versus the Mistrash.
Yeah. The Good Brothers versus the Mistrash was a one-star match. I mean, it wasn't, honestly, it could have been on TV, dude. Like, I'm not going to hate on it. It served its purpose, but I mean, it was, nothing special.
Okay.
Right. I didn't even know we were going to talk about it. It was there. It happened.
My bad, you know, and I don't even know, you know, I was out and about and stuff like that, so I didn't watch Elimination Chamber, like, right when it came on. I caught bits and pieces of it as it was on. I ended up having to watch it, like, early Monday morning is when I ended up watching it. So I didn't see this match whatsoever. I think enough said. Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson. You know what they bring to the table, but you know how WWE likes to book. So, them going against the Mistrash, pretty sure it was one of those type of matches where you already knew that the Balor Club was going to come out on top, or the Good Brothers, or Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, whatever you want to call them. You already knew they was going to come out on top. The Mistrash is just not going to. Then there's not a viable tag team anyway that they going to sit there and let them win and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But next, we have the Raw Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss, winning the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber match. How'd you feel about this match?
For me, the match was pretty good. It was better than I expected. There were some times where it was a little...
sloppy?
Whoa. No, it wasn't so much sloppy as that. I think the concern was with hitting the right spots at the right time.
Okay.
That they lost kind of the realism to it, I guess. Like, for example, when it was Sonya Deville went for a punch, and you know she got stuck in the cage. It was so slow motion.
Yeah, That was my only gripe, really, about that match, was that spot right there. Because I knew what they was trying to do, but she was trying to be careful and make sure her arm went through it. And so she did it real slow and everything. But if you're not confident in actually just doing that spot, and it's not like, you know, a spot where she's going to put herself at risk or anything. But if you're not comfortable with actually doing that spot and doing it successfully, just don't do it. That's why I always feel. Just don't do it. If you're not confident, don't do it at all. And stuff. And I know it was something simple, but a lot of times, especially when you're talking about these matches where there has to be more fast-paced because you're going to have so many people in the ring at once and stuff, you got to be able to land those type of things. In order for the match to be entertaining, because otherwise you're gonna be sitting there like, you fucked up, and you don't want to sit there with the whole match talking about something, you fucked up. So I get you on that.
Yep. I mean, like I said, you know, for an overall match, it was really good, exceeded my expectations. So shout out.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like this match was really good too. Ooh, you know, it was definitely one of the top matches on the show. Probably one or maybe number two match on the show. That's how good this match actually was. I was entertained from start to finish. It just certain little nuances I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville were booked to not actually pin Bayley and everything. Like, why would they double team her, beat her down like they did, and then not get the pin? 2-on-1. I didn't understand that. I think you can't have these women going out there, and not just the women, and the men or whatever. I just don't believe in making them, like, stupid. Like, you know, I think it makes it more entertaining when they're smart about it and saying, this is how we're going to accomplish doing this and stuff. You had Sonya Deville, you had Bayley in that match for a long time and stuff. So, why not? Well, at least a good 5 minutes, because it was 5 minutes for the next person to come out and stuff. And then you had Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose beating up on Bayley for another 5 minutes. So you're talking about Bayley being in that match for 10 minutes without getting pinned and out of that match. I don't understand that. To me, and they messed up their own logic. Maybe Mandy Rose shouldn't have been the third person in there. So then when Mandy Rose is the first person that's pinned and kicked out of the elimination chamber, then it would have made more sense and stuff. Maybe Sasha should have went third, and you could have showed more of that dissension between those two, Bayley and Sasha, and that could have been the reason why they never was able to pin Sonya Deville right away and stuff. And then Mandy Rose comes in. That's probably how I would have booked it and stuff. But let me not nitpick too much. Either way it go, this match was still pretty damn good. Outside of that and Sonya Deville, you know, having to slowly punch through the cage so she can get stuck. Yeah. Outside of those two things, this match was damn good. It was entertaining from start to finish. Loved the way how Alexa came out on top. I think they did a good job in making me believe that she was supposed to and how she should have came out on top. So, kudos to WWE. You may hear me say that a little bit more later on when we do the RBU podcast. Anyway, moving on. All right, we got the Raw Tag Team Champions, Cesaro and Sheamus, defeating Titus Worldwide. How did you feel about this match?
You know what? It was a pretty good match. It wasn't too long. It wasn't too short, but it was a pretty good match to me. It wasn't horrible. I thought it was going to be horrible. It was entertaining. And we'll talk about this later when we get into the RBU portion of our show. But I thought it was a good cap to the rivalry, so to speak, up until a certain point. But we'll talk about that later on. But yeah, with the match, I didn't think it was flat out horrible, which is what I expected, because I thought, you know, there was only so much that they could do, you know, against each other as far as Titus Worldwide versus Cesaro and Sheamus. So I felt like they reached a certain point, but then when they decided that they were going to do the pay-per-view match, I kind of wrote it off like, okay, this is going to be a bathroom break, but I was entertained.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it wasn't one bad match. I mean, up until Titus O'Neil got in the ring, and anytime Titus O'Neil's in the ring, is always just a terrible thing and stuff. But, you know, obviously Apollo Crews, he carried most of that match for Titus Worldwide. And, you know, he went in there, he did his thing. And so, with that said, it really wasn't that bad of a match. Here's the thing I would do, though. And here's the thing that WWE needs to start thinking about. And here's where WWE kind of messed up, tell you the truth, and shit, a while ago. One, they need to tell Titus O'Neil, you're not wrestling again. First, start off with that, or whatever. Or if you do wrestle in any capacity, we're going to throw you into, like, a battle royal match or some shit. But as far as, like, title contentions and shit like that, like, nah, dude, we're just not doing that. if we want to get somebody over, yeah, okay, we put them over you and shit like that. You're still a big dude. We could probably sell that a little bit or whatever. But this is why they shouldn't let go Darren Young and shit. Because now you put in a situation where Titus O'Neil has this Titus Worldwide, which, by the way, where the fuck is Akira Tozawa? Did he leave Titus Worldwide? Was he ever a part of Titus Worldwide? I mean, what is the correlation?
I think that's kind of like, that's a wrap, bro. You can just give up on that. Yeah. We're not going to get much of an explanation. So that was no longer, or never was, or I don't know.
Yeah, but either way I go. Whatever. It's not even that. I lobby for Darren Young. And this is what I'm saying. Darren Young can flat out wrestle. That dude can go in that ring. He helped carry, what were they called again? What was the tag team called again?
Primetime Players.
Yeah, Primetime Players and stuff. Because he was just that good and shit. So now you have Titus paired with Apollo Crews. Now, Titus being paired with Apollo Crews and once again Darren Young, and he's managing them and they're a tag team. That's something I can get behind right away. That's something where I think you probably actually could have tucked titles off the bar this past Sunday or this past Monday, because that's how good both these dudes are in the ring. And then on top of that, you got the mouthpiece behind it and shit. And then all the while this is going on, they should be grooming Dana Brooke, getting her back in the ring. Showing her, just why the fuck is she walking out there with fucking a notepad and talking about some numbers and shit? Like, what fucking numbers are you crunching and shit? Or if you're going to use Dana Brooke in that capacity where she's talking about she crunching numbers, then they should be talking more like basketball and baseball, where she's talking about analytics and shit. And that, you know, would be so dope if they was actually heels and shit. And they talking about, nope, we only want to go against these tag teams because these are the tag teams that we match up well against and shit like that. Like, that shit, if they told a whole story like that, that shit would be dope as fuck. Because you're like, nope, we running the numbers. Like, the number says that, you know, we may not win in this type of match or this capacity or whatever. So, no, we want to do this and shit. And they try to lobby to be in certain matches that gave them a percentage chance to actually win. That would be actually dope. You see how we can just take the little things that WWE is doing and make it better and shit? I just don't know why they can't just think outside the box and actually do this and shit. So, I'm just like, sorry, I got a little distracted. My fault. I got a little distracted. My son came in here asking for something. He was trying to be quiet and shit. But anyway, this is going to be my... I'm going to try to make this my only knock, because I actually do want to give WWE credit later on. And it's going to be like, oh, but you really shitting on them still. So I don't want to do that. Anyway, moving on. Asuka defeating Nia Jax. How'd you feel, sir?
For me, this was the match of the night. It was a really, really good match. I look at it all as a series of matches because I really like their NXT matches. So for me, this was kind of an extension of that back and forth. I think we all expected Asuka to win. I think that was a given. But still within the match, watching it, I liked how Nia was displayed. I like what, you know, they did, was still making Nia kind of look strong, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree. You know how I felt about them booking this match in the first place. It was kind of like, it didn't really make sense.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that they did the match, and this is what resulted from, I appreciate how the match came about, let's say that.
Yeah, you know, because it's like, because we already know it's too soon, and we already feel like, I think the problem is they missed that boat so far with Nia being the champion, and like, you know where they're gonna go with it with Asuka, and so now everybody has to take this back seat. All the women on both brands, because until they actually figure out what they want to do, which they probably have a good idea as to what they're gonna do and stuff, but everybody's gonna have to take a back seat to Asuka going in there, winning every damn week until they decide they're going to take the title off her, until they decide that they built somebody up strong enough to take the title off her. And then you got Ronda Rousey, who's going to be going in there, and she's going to be winning a lot and stuff, because they're not going to have her losing and shit. So it's one of those situations where you kind of feel bad for somebody like a Nia Jax, or, you know, Bayley and Sasha and Becky Lynch, Carmella, because she got the money in the bank. And I don't foresee her actually even holding either title. And if she does, she's not going to hold it for a long time. They're going to make her a transitional champion, which fucking sucks for her and shit. You know what I mean? So, as far as those nuances going, I think that's kind of, it kind of sucks and shit. But other than that, obviously, getting back to this match was damn good. I would say my match of the night, only because they fixed how they ended it. Because that roll up, if the match would have just ended like that and Asuka won and they just walked off, I was going to be pissed. But the fact that Nia attacked her afterwards and kind of let it be known, like, look, I kind of was beating your ass throughout this whole match, and you got some lucky licks in, and you end up winning by a roll-up. All right, you got one on me, but I'm still going to fuck you up after this match. And so she did. And just from start to finish, they made this match entertaining, because it was like Asuka, she wasn't backing down. Nia obviously was just too strong for her and shit. But with Asuka being a fighter that she is, she's able to take a lot of that shit and was able to, it made me believe that Asuka can probably really beat Nia Jax's ass in real life, which I don't think could ever happen and shit, because I think she's just too small. But it made me believe, like, man, maybe she could actually get at her and shit. You know what I mean? But with that said, like I said, this match was great, start to finish. The Asuka taking that bump, man, I mean, I'm talking about Nia just, she ran through some walls, yo. Like, I mean, I believe if that was a brick wall, Nia was running through that shit with Asuka right there. That's how forceful she rammed Asuka through that shit. Like, she just, it was like Mike Tyson. You ever heard Mike Tyson tell the story of how he punches people and shit? Like, what he visualized?
I thought I'd seen it on one of his little monologue listings.
Yeah, he always visualized punching through you and shit, which is sick in itself. Like, dude, you want to punch through somebody and shit? That's how I feel like Nia did Asuka. Like, she was like, I'm going to run through you. Not that I'm just going to run into you and we're going to go through this barricade, but I'm going to run through you. That's how nasty that shit was. And it ended very well. I liked it. Man, shit. But anyway, moving on. Next, we got the Ronda Rousey put Triple H through a table. And then she gets slapped by Stephanie McMahon during her official Raw contract signing. All due to the fact that Kurt Angle was telling her, like, this is really what they're saying about you behind your back. And they really acting like they happy to sign you and shit, like, because they want to just have you, but they really, they feel like they got you. Yeah. Now they own you and shit. So, Ronda Rousey wasn't too happy about that. What do you think about this contract signing?
I like the concept. I did not like the delivery, and the reason why I didn't like the delivery is, you know, Ronda was wearing an earpiece and, you know, obviously being felt fed lines. And I think when you make the decision to bring somebody straight to the WWE, and I'm not saying that it was wrong. If they felt like skipping NXT is the route to go to get the most out of her, more power to you. It's a business decision. However, you have to take what comes along with that, and I think that's the sink or swim thing. She's got to go through the bumps, but putting the earpiece in her ear, I think, is a setback for her. I think it's better for her to just naturally go out and say what she would say in that situation. And that's what I think. I think they kind of set her up to fail. Because it didn't come off well. I don't know if you got that same vibe when you were watching it.
I didn't really get that vibe. I really didn't pay attention enough to sit there and be like, oh, she got an earpiece on and stuff like that. I actually didn't like the story. And this is how they want to go about having Ronda Rousey go against Stephanie McMahon. First off, I don't want to see Stephanie McMahon in any type of ring ever in a wrestling capacity. I seen her in the ring against Nikki and Brie Bella, and that shit was trash, and I just didn't want to see her again. And look, there's no disrespect to Stephanie McMahon and what she has done in the past by getting in the ring and what she brings to the table and shit. I just rather Ronda Rousey have been in NXT. If what she's doing, if those words were real and shit, and she just want to have pave her way and go through the same thing that everybody else is going through and shit like that, then she should have started in NXT. So then we don't even know what her character is. We just know that she's a fan of Roddy Piper and shit. But what is Ronda Rousey? I don't know what your character is whatsoever and shit. I don't know if you can wrestle. I'm not saying that you're not taking it seriously. Not saying that you haven't made steps, leaps, and bounds from when you first started training for wrestling until now and shit. I don't know what you are about. And that's the reason why you should go down to developmental and show us from there on. Because it's not like you can't build a fan base there. It's not like WWE can't make a shitload of money there. Because they've done it before.
I think it has to do with Shayna Baszler being there, though.
Yeah, nah. Whatever, then move Shayna Baszler up. I think she's actually more main roster ready than Ronda Rousey. Why? Because she's already been doing it. And yeah. Stuff. And that's my problem. Like,
but I think they're looking at it from earning capacity.
Yeah, I know that. I know what they're looking at it from. But I think they still would have got their earning capacity. Maybe not as much as she's on the main roster and stuff. But I think, one, you would have drew more people to the network because then they would have had to see what Ronda. I mean, you could have advertised that. Ronda Rousey's going to make her debut on the WWE Network on NXT. Only here can you see this. I mean, something. That's how you got to promote that shit. Look, you knew you did this before, and you failed. You did this with Eva Marie, and it didn't work out for you. I mean, you've done this with other wrestlers where you just try to bring them in and shit, and it doesn't work out. Because it's hard to just sit there. You did it with Dana Brooke. She didn't have that much single competitive time by herself in NXT to actually build, one, who she is and what she can do in the ring and stuff. We've had small sample sizes, and good thing that she had some development down there, so we know what Dana Brooke can do in the ring for the most part, but she never clearly developed. And like now you have her in a capacity as to where she's just a valet. She's not even wrestling and shit. Like, you get all these other women wrestling and being involved in Elimination Chamber matches, Royal Rumbles, and shit like that. Dana Brooke wasn't in the Royal Rumble, was she?
I don't think so. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was.
She was? Oh, yeah, she was for a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, she was. And I just thought about that. That's why I had to make sure I asked that question before I just really go on rant. You know what I mean? But even then, in what capacity are you really using Dana Brooke? See, this is the problem, though. You know, you brought her up too soon. She's really not that developed. And now you're about to do the same thing with Ronda Rousey. Except for with Ronda Rousey, you're stuck with that. You can't just sit there and try to finagle your way into, like, really making sure she has that, not have that chance, I should say, and stuff. You have to do that. Now, you have to go down that route. You have to give her that chance. You're going to be locked into her, and you can't just sit there and be like, all right, well, you know what? You really ain't working out. We're going to release you. You just can't do that. Not with no Ronda Rousey and shit. So you put yourself in a situation where you're looking at it as, let's make this money now, which you're not struggling for shit. Look, the WWE isn't struggling for any fucking thing. Is it that important to try to really coop that money now versus later? See, that's the thing that WWE got to start thinking about and worrying about. Is it worth the views at WrestleMania to have Ronda Rousey on the main stage having a WrestleMania moment now versus later? That's the thing I don't understand. And that's the reason why Ronda Rousey should have started at NXT. If from the promo that was being done was true. You know, you want to be able to, you know, pave your own way. You want to be able to, you know, you don't want to be treated differently and all this shit. You know what I mean? That's why I actually should have seen from Ronda Rousey. This is my personal opinion. All right, after that, we had Woken, Matt Hardy, defeating Bray Wyatt. Their best match yet. That's how I felt about it. How you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it was their best match yet, but I hope that when the rumors are true that Jeff Hardy's coming back from injury and they're going to basically dethrone the Bar for the tag team titles, and then you're going to see Bray Wyatt feud with them with a partner. That's the rumor. I hope that refreshes everything for me, because, like, I think you talked about this at the anniversary show. It's hard to care about the feud now because they've had so many shitty matches. And so then they have a good one when all the kind of the buzz or the hype or the momentum behind the feud is gone. You know what I mean? So I really like the match, but it's like, where does the feud go from here? It's just, it kind of lost its spark and its fire for me. So they're going to have to do something dope to freshen it up. Yeah. But match-wise, it was dope.
Yeah, this was their best match. And I'm a little more interested. I don't know if I really want those rumors to come true. Because my thing is this. Although I like Matt Hardy, I respect what he did and brought to the game. Like the broken, woken Matt Hardy, whatever you want to call it nowadays. Definitely would love when they have Brother Nero back and, you know, they do their thing together. But you have this other tag team there called The Revival. And these dudes are legit. And you telling me because they heels, they can't go and fight for the tag titles and stuff because the Bar is heels, are heels. I need them to do something with that, because they messed up when they had Enzo More and Big Cass. They messed up with that. You had this tag team that came up from NXT with such a huge buzz, and you fucked it up. Because you want to push Big Cass into singles competitor, be a singles competitor.
Although, well, let me object to that part, though. The only thing I'll say about that is that I'm not objecting. The only thing I'm going to say about Enzo and Kaz, though, is that I kind of see why they were doing that. Because if these problems they had with Enzo, I'm not talking about even the allegations against him, nothing about that. I'm just talking about the locker room issues and all that before we knew about this. If they already saw that was a problem, I think that's why they were doing it. Like, now I kind of see. I'm like, oh, were they doing this because they were like, yo, Enzo is almost on his way out of this month. So let's see what we can do with Cavs just so he knows we're serious about him, because he seems to take it serious. But this dude, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I'll give you that. I'll back off then. I'll back off on that. But look, I still don't want them just passing up Dash Wilder. I was about to call him Scott Hall, dog. I don't know why. Shit. Scott.
Dawson.
Dawson, yeah. Shit, I still wanted to call the motherfucker Scott Hall. I don't know why. Shit. But anyway, I just don't want them to pass up on the revival and not capitalize on what they actually bring to the table. Them dudes are good on the mic. Those dudes are good in the ring. And they are truly a throwback, an ode to what tag team wrestling used to be and shit. Especially tag team heel wrestling at that. And these dudes are literally students of the game. And I just don't want them to just pass up on them just because they want to put Bray Wyatt in the tag team now versus Bray Wyatt just being a singles competitor and at least carrying the IC title and shit like that. And just really building Bray Wyatt up to be the next Undertaker. I don't know why they haven't done that yet. Why they won't do that yet. He has a huge following and shit. And you want to miss the boat because you don't want to have him carry the main title? I don't know. I don't know what the problem is and stuff. But I just don't want them to go down that road. I really don't. And plus, on top of that, after WrestleMania, you're going to be bringing up tag teams and shit. And so, why bring up tag teams and then they're going to be stuck in this bizarre world because you want to continuously push Sheamus and Cesaro along with Bray Wyatt and whoever he's going to have as his partner and Matt Hardy and the other Hardy. Fuck. I'm just going to say Jeff. The other Hardy. Yeah, Jeff Hardy. Shit. I'm just having a hard time remembering names right now. Because like I said this before, and I guarantee you this is probably what's going to happen. You're going to have the Authors of Pain more than likely on Raw. And shit. Unless they do some type of flip-flop where the Bludgeon Brothers come to Raw and then the Authors of Pain go there. I don't foresee that happening. Maybe they would do that. Maybe they would do that to kind of put the Wyatts back together, but it's going to be Bray Wyatt with the Bludgeon Brothers. I don't know. I just don't foresee that really happening. I'm pretty sure you're just going to have the Authors of Pain on Raw. Obviously, you got Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, unless you're moving them over to SmackDown. See, why are they being passed up once again and shit? Because they really didn't have that long of a run as tag champions. And on top of that, they really didn't get to really showcase. That's the one thing that we haven't even complained about yet. We haven't seen Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson really showcase their wrestling vernacular. And when are we going to get that? Because now they just kind of using them for their name and what they used to be a part of. When we going to really see Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson become like one of the top tag teams and shit? So that's what I want to see. That's what I want to see first. Then maybe we can get Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy tagging together again with the whole Woken and Brother Nero and shit like that. But, yeah. And now, for the finale of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, we had Roman Reigns winning the first ever 7-man Elimination Chamber match to challenge Universal Champion Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 34. Can I start this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate you, sir. Look, I found so many things wrong with this match. Not that it was a super horrible match. I believe it was a little more slow-paced than I had anticipated, which I was shocked because you have people like, you know, Roman Reigns, who can pretty move. He can move pretty fast around that ring. Braun can move pretty fast around that ring. John Cena, he's okay. He can move. He can move in that ring and stuff. I think they put together some wrestlers like, and I didn't even get to Seth Rollins and Finn Balor yet. You know, obviously, they can definitely move around that ring. I was surprised that it moved in such a slow pace, though. Well, you have all these wrestlers that can actually really move in that ring and put on. And they could have probably put on one of the best Elimination Chamber matches that we've ever seen. And they failed to capitalize on that and shit. And I don't know why. I don't know why they did that. You know what I mean? The only person that you probably could have questioned as far as, yo, and I would have loved to be able to see that, if he can really move fast-paced in the ring and shit like that, is Elias. Because we really haven't gotten that yet and shit. And I don't know if he can do it, and I don't know if he can't do it and shit. But we haven't gotten it yet. And I would have loved to be able to see, could he have gotten in that ring and just go? Just like, just 100%. Like, dude, it's go time. This is what we doing. And shit. I would have loved to be able to see that. But some of my problems with the match. You telling me that Braun Strowman destroys everybody and shit? Even being attacked 5-on-1, 6-on-1 and shit like that. And this dude cannot beat Roman Reigns 1-on-1 at the end? I don't understand that shit whatsoever. Where was the logic in how they was writing this damn Elimination Chamber match? Because there was no logic to that whatsoever. What you thought it was going to make Roman Reigns look stronger? No, it makes me think that your fucking writing was stupid. That's what it made me feel and stuff. Because naturally, I'm just like, well, shit, Braun should just fucking win. That's one. Two, why would Braun stop Finn Balor from defeating Roman Reigns? I hate when they do this shit. You put them in a position where, oh shit, Roman Reigns is about to be eliminated because Finn Balor is about to hit this coup de grace and shit, and which he did, and now he's about to pin him. But then you get Braun come and destroy him and shit like that, and it pins him. Why wouldn't Braun just let him pin Roman Reigns? Then he pick his last up, power slams him with the running power slam. Shout out British Bulldog. And then he beats him 1-2-3. To me, that's logically smart. I just don't know. I just don't think that you wouldn't not do the smart thing. I don't think Braun Strowman is a dumb person. So why would y'all book it that way and stuff? Like, there are certain things I'm just like, WWE, you gotta start booking shit differently that actually makes sense. Because that stuff doesn't make sense. And I pay attention to those things. And I'm critical of those things. And I point those things out. Because it doesn't make any damn sense. If I'm in an Elimination Chamber match, and I know the only way to win is by being the last person at the end and by pinning the last person at the end, I'm not going to stop Finn Balor from pinning this person. And I'm Braun Strowman. He is so much more smaller than me. I'm just going to destroy his ass and shit. And like, that should have been the logic and stuff. But that wasn't the logic of how they went about the business of Finn Balor, which fucking sucks and shit. But yeah, other than that, I know a lot of people were pissed off about Roman Reigns winning and shit like that. And obviously, you know me. I do not fuck with one Roman Reigns. But look, I'm just going to take the silver lining and say, hey, he's supposed to be booked to go against Brock Lesnar and beat him. I'm going to take that shit because now we got the title on television more often than not. Because it is a damn shame that pretty much since the inception of this damn title, it has not been on TV consistently. And if that's how you want to start off with having your top title. Now, this is the top title now. They want to put this above the title on SmackDown, the World Heavyweight Championship and stuff, or the World Championship, whichever one they want to go with nowadays, or whatever. I know they want to put that above that title, but how are you really building that title if you got Brock Lesnar holding it and he's not even going to be on fucking TV like that? Or you have Goldberg holding it and he's not going to be on fucking TV like that? Like, that stuff doesn't make any sense. So, with that said, not really happy at the fact that Roman won, but if it means bringing the Universal title back to TV, fuck it. I'll eat that shit. Go ahead, sir. You got nothing. Did you freeze up on him? Do you need to call back? Oh, he walked away. But anyway, so, Miller, I don't know how you actually feel about this match and shit, but I actually think they should have went the route of Finn Balor winning, and because he still hasn't really gotten that that rematch yet and shit for that title. He never really lost that title, and I think you can do more as far as actually building the Universal title up and building up somebody being able to take out Brock Lesnar a little better with Finn Balor, with him being the Demon King and shit. Yeah. And on top of that, he also, you know, will build up that Universal title. Because I think at the end of the day, that Roman holding that Universal title actually won't do anything for it just yet. Not saying that Roman can't hold that title and, you know, the kids won't eat that shit up and shit like that. I know this. Obviously, they will and stuff. But I think as far as building the title to be something, I think Roman holding it now versus later is a mistake. My personal opinion. I'm not saying that Roman should never be able to hold the Universal title. I'm just saying as far as establishing the Universal title as it transitioned itself to being back on TV more often than not, or pretty much 100% of the time, would be better if it wasn't Roman. Just because the fans really still not, overall, the fans aren't really behind Roman just yet. So that's the reason why I think they should have put that on Finn. But anyway, now that you're back and you almost fucked me up and shit.
I mean, I messaged you.
You know what, man? You know I keep my phone on silent now.
I thought maybe you saw it scroll or light up or something. I mean.
No, man.
I apologize. Make your call. Yeah. I had to answer.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. But,
I mean, as far as the Elimination Chamber match, the men's match for me, it was all right. Finding out afterwards that John Cena kind of pushed for a different outcome versus he's pushing for Seth Rollins, I believe, and then he's pushing for Braun. So, in the end of the day, we all knew the outcome, right? We all knew Roman Reigns was going to win. It is what it is. I've come to grips with it. Like, we're not going to get something different. That's what they're doing. That's what it's going to be. We can complain about it. It's not going to change. That being said, the only qualm I have, I guess, with the match, it's what I expected. You know me. I don't expect much. It didn't blow me away or anything. Braun defeating everybody, if the purpose is to establish him as the first, like, real threat to Roman Reigns' title reign, I get it. If it was just to make people happy at the end of the night because Roman Reigns is going to win, it's one of those things you do as a waste. I feel like if you make a decision to have a guy kind of run through everybody, then it has to mean something. You know what I mean? Because yeah. Wins and losses matter perception-wise. I know in the WWE world, it not necessarily like it does in like you know, other promotions in Japan, Ring Honor, you know, anywhere. But all in all, I guess, and knowing that Roman Reigns was going to win and that it's pretty much the only way we're going to get the belt back on TV, it's like, all right, because if Finn would have, I'd love for Finn to win. My only thing is, knowing how things have gone and what's been said about Finn versus Brock, I doubt that Finn would be the person to win. So then we go past WrestleMania with Brock as the champion? Like, nah. So it is what it is.
Yeah. All right, what's your grade for the show?
I give it a C.
I'm going to give it a college C. I'm going to give it a good college C.
Strong C.
Yeah, and I think WWE should be happy with this. Because, truth be told, no match was really to the point where I just felt like this shit is just... like, rough for me. Like, I could actually go back and watch the Elimination Chamber and stuff. And the fact that it's actually rewatchable, I think, says a lot. I think the only problem is there's no match. It was only a couple of matches that kind of, like, made you feel like, oh, man, that shit was pretty good, which is obviously the women. The women did steal the show. And I don't say that just to be, you know, tooting their horn or whatever because, you know, I like me a Nia Jackson and an Oscar or... Alexa Bliss, Alexa, we love you. I don't say that just because I want to give these women that props. They actually, because I'm going to let you know when you're fucking trash. But they actually came in and they put on a good damn show. And they really stole the Elimination Chamber. And honestly, I felt like the men should have been able to steal the show with their Elimination Chamber match. Because I feel like, I mean, they may not have gotten a lot more time, but I felt like they got a lot of time and enough time to actually show out and do what the hell they can do. But they did. Instead, the women did that, and they did their damn thing, man. And kudos to them and stuff. But, yeah, simply some of the storyline, I just didn't like Roman going over. I don't like... Titus O'Neil being in a fucking wrestling ring, wrestling in that capacity, I don't fucking like. The Ronda Rousey, I told you that, didn't like. So, there were a bunch of things that I didn't like, but as far as the wrestling goes, it was pretty solid. So, a good hard college C. And that's my explanation. And I'm sticking with it. All right. Now, let's get to it. Your favorite tag team partners, we still here. Just did the Elimination Chamber. Now, let's get into this RBU. The Raw, the Bad, the Ugly. Took place in Anaheim. Used to be Anaheim Angels. I think they're in Los Angeles. And shit. Anaheim. Isn't that where the 49ers play now? No, they play in Santa Monica.
I believe that's... Huh?
They play in Santa Monica, right? Santa Clara. Yeah, Santa Clara. Right.
I know it's still it's in the Bay Area.
Yeah. So it's there.
Okay.
Santa Clara, I believe. I believe it's Santa Clara.
That year, yes. You're definitely right. I know that because WrestleMania was there.
Yeah. Anaheim, I guess, suburb of Los Angeles.
Yeah. Which,
Anaheim is a pretty big city too though.
It's the Aurora of Los Angeles.
Oh, okay, that's a good comparison.
For those that don't know, Aurora's the second largest city in Illinois.
Yeah, I would say that's a good comparison. Other than that, I don't know shit about Anaheim. Anaheim Ducks. I forgot about the hockey team, the Anaheim Ducks. But other than that, other than that, it's Anaheim. I'm pretty sure it's a beautiful place. Never been there. Really can't tell you much about it. So, moving on. Do you, my good friend, have a match to watch for?
I do, actually. From the most recent Progress chapter, Zack Sabre Jr. went against Tyler Bate. People who aren't familiar with the indie scene or the UK scene, you know Tyler Bate from NXT. You remember Zack Sabre Jr. From the Cruiserweight Classic. This happened in Progress. It was a really, really good match. Watching the scientific submission style of Zack Sabre Jr. up against Tyler Bate's British Strong Style, they really put on a clinic. It was a really good back and forth match. It kind of reminded me a lot of the some of those Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero matches. I know everybody loved the Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko matches, but I always liked Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero because it was kind of that small power versus the speed. And that's kind of what you got in this, but speed in a technical sense, because, you know, with Zack Sabre Jr., it's all about the submissions, and he played the craziest looking STF combination I've ever seen. So if you're a fan of submission wrestling versus power impact hybrid wrestling, I guess you would say, then definitely check out this match from Progress.
Okay. Cool. I heard there was a match on NXT that was pretty damn good, and I can't remember what it was. I heard it was a match on NXT that was pretty good.
Shayna Baszler and...
Kairi Sane. Yeah, that. That's what it was. Yeah. I heard that match was pretty good. I didn't get to watch it yet, but I'm going to check that out soon.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. All right. What's the news and rumors, sir? What?
All right. Hey. So starting up first, on the newest episode of Being the Elite, it was announced that they will reveal where the All-In show is going to take place. There's rumors for Chicago and Atlanta and Los Angeles area. So we'll see. Obviously, I hope it's Chicago. But just the fact that they're able to try to do something like this is going to be dope. Anyway you look at it, I'm looking forward to it. What's up? Oh, on the third, speaking of Being the Elite, Young Bucks, all that, on the third is Manhattan Mayhem, which is going to be the first streamed show as part of the Honor Club. So I have the Honor Club. I'll be kind of reporting live what's going on at Manhattan Mayhem. It's kind of cool because usually this is one of the shows where when it's not a pay-per-view, I got to wait for the VOD or, you know, wait for somebody to put up results of what happened. So it's going to be dope to be able to, like, watch it live. One of the perks of the Honor Club. So check out the Honor Club. $29.99 a month.
You mean you telling me you're not going to the WWE live event in Chicago? Damn, dude. Man, we do a wrestling podcast on Raw.
Wait. This is cool. We can talk about this real quick. So then, like, on my way to work, you know, me and my wife, we carpool because we work in the same area. Mm-hmm. We're passing, we see this billboard for a Raw, and I'm like, oh, man, WWE live event. It's going to be at the United Center, which, for anybody who doesn't know, they haven't been to the United Center WWE in 20 years. So it's like, whoa, this is crazy. They're going to be at the United Center. I was only making a comment, though, about that. She was like, oh. With my birthday being tomorrow, March 2nd, she was like, is that something you would want to do? And I'm like, no, that's all right. not for the cost and probably the car. She was like, what do you mean? And she was like, there's Brock Lesnar up there and stuff. I was like, yeah. I pulled up the card.
You know, yeah, he's going against Kane. The
cards are just to change. Yeah, Brock Lesnar versus Kane. Oh, I'm not paying for that. Are you kidding me? Hell no. Oh my, that's all right. I'm gonna stay home and watch Manhattan Mayhem. They're having a crazy ass cage match. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
I'm straight. Damn. Anyway.
And that's if he shows up, shit. Huh? That's if he show up.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of which, I'm glad you said that. Segue in. The Roman Reigns promo was a work shoot. So there's rumors back and forth, nothing confirmed either way, that, you know, Brock no-showed. He was scheduled to show, but because of how his contract works, he, you know, didn't really have to if they weren't going to pay him extra. There's all this back and forth. Regardless, the promo that Roman Reigns cut was, you know, scripted per se, as far as say this, you know, they're wanting him to, you know, get the point across, to call him Brock Lesnar a bitch, but he, you know, it wasn't a script as far as say all of this word for word. He kind of came straight off the dome and, you know, told it like it was, in other words. And this was the realest Roman Reigns we got, and everybody loved it. I appreciate it. I'm sure we're going to talk about it later on. Regardless if it was a work shoot or not, this is what we've been talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Just be 100. But we'll talk about that later. Drew Galloway, or as you know, Drew McIntyre, is having an invitational tournament for 16 rookies from Scotland that he's going to have. It's going to be an annual tournament. For anybody who doesn't know, in the UK scene, he's huge because he was the first, like, in a long time, UK star that was taken seriously by WWE and kind of pushed. So with him being, because remember, he was the chosen one, quote unquote, before being released.
Yeah.
So he's pretty big over there. So this is going to be a big deal. A lot of people look up to him. I believe he has a school in Scotland. So this is going to be kind of dope. I want to see who gets in the tournament and what comes from that. Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground is going to be on April 6th.
Don't do that. Why? Why are you reporting that shit? Who cares? It's TNA. Well,
you don't care. Doesn't mean nobody else does. I'm kind of interested.
It's TNA. That's bullshit. And then you know it.
It's going to be airing live on Twitch at 9 p.m. on the 6th, so that's Friday. It's going to be interesting, the politics involved in this. They have some of the same wrestlers. They kind of all work together with Noah, AAA, and Lucha Underground. So maybe the politics won't be too much involved, but I want to see with the new season filming of Lucha Underground, is this going to be something that intertwines? Like, are they working on something TV-wise? So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Impact's got to work on paying their wrestlers first, though. But that's another story.
Look, here's what I'm saying to you, man. Look, I don't want to hear any more fucking TNA news until they die. Until they die off. No longer fucking existing. Fuck right, well, TNA and everything they stand for.
It's my journalistic job to report everything. I'm not a fan of Impact Wrestling.
I know. You got to do your job and shit. But fuck TNA. Just fuck them. Them fuckers need to die now. They're dying a slow death, man, and it's pissing me off. See, they look like the person that got shot and they just won't go. They just own life support and just won't just die.
Wow.
Just fucking die and shit. So then I could burn you and throw your ashes out in the ocean and forget about that you ever fucking existed. That's what I want to do with TNA.
Okay.
But, all right.
Well,
they won't Fox just die.
Offering $400 million per year.
Who? Who was?
Fox is offering $400 million per year for Raw, or for the WWE TV rights. That would put SmackDown on Fox Sports One, and then that would probably make Raw a 2-hour show and not a 3-hour show. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk about it in Let's Talk Wrestling before the show ends, whether or not...
If we with the shits or we not.
...idea what we see coming from it. Also, Keith Lee. Those who watched Ring of Honor when he was a team with Shane Taylor, those who are fans of the World Wrestling Network, he's the current World Wrestling Network champion. Keith Lee has been offered a developmental deal with WWE, which will put him in NXT. Somewhere around May, what has been reported is that he hasn't been taking bookings past May, so it looks like he has accepted the deal. So we'll see what happens from here.
Man, if they just unleash Keith Lee and let him do what he gotta do, I'm telling you, this motherfucker is so good. People are gonna look. This dude is he's unreal. The things that he can do in the ring at his size. Dude, I would love to be able to see a Keith Lee versus Braun Strowman match. Or a Keith Lee versus I was about to say Raymond Rowe, but the other one, Hanson. Oh man.
Well, I mean, you can watch that if you go on the Honor Club. You can watch War Machine versus the...
No, but I don't want to see... I want to see singles. I'm talking about a single match. Because, you know, I like Raymond Rowe, but I'm not a huge fan of Raymond Rowe. I just don't... I think he's just overshadowed by Hanson. I think that's what it is. He's the better wrestler of the two. Huh?
I guess. I think Raymond Rowe is the better one, but okay.
Maybe it is Raymond Rowe that I always think of that's the better wrestler of the two. Fuck, man.
He's huge and he moves fast and his moveset is like more entertaining.
Yeah.
But Raymond Rowe, he has like the crazy... I think it's just the style differences, that's all. You kind of like that style and I like the more... like kick you in your face and like he really kicked him in his face. Like that's my shit. like oh shit, his nose is broke. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But what I was gonna say about Keith Lee, one interview that he had, he kinda talked about, I'm not surprised by after hearing this interview,
Lady
his career choice. Yeah. I was really confused about when he left ROH for World Wrestling Network. But now knowing that really his ultimate goal has been to get to WWE, I get it. Mm. He wasn't really interested in New Japan. Though there's rumors that he might be booked for the Strong Style Evolve show. But who knows? But, you know, he doesn't have a lot of interest in going to Japan. That's just not his gig.
Going overseas ain't for everybody anyway.
That's part of the reason why he chose to leave Ring of Honor, seeing how Ring of Honor works so closely with New Japan and there's a lot of travel with New Japan involved, it's just not his thing and he'd rather be with WWE. I get it. That's what you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're in for a treat. This dude is dope. Dope as shit.
Yeah. And then, last but not least, the Nexus Alliance, which is Darren Young, PJ Black and Michael Tarver, I don't know if you guys remember him, from the original Nexus. They're going to be in the King of Trios tournament that's put on every year by Chikara. It's a Lucha Wrestling promotion. I like Chikara. I was really into them during the Eddie Kingston title right there. But regardless, they're actually reuniting. There's always one of those teams that they put together for this tournament. A couple of years back, they had AJ Styles and the Young Bucks in it. Representing Bullet Club and the matches they had with people were crazy. I think they put together the BWO one year. Like, they brought them back together.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, they always do. Like, Chikara's a pretty fun promotion. Mm. It's a PG promotion. I took Ari once. Mm. It's a PG promotion. Like, instead of saying holy shit, they like, holy poop. Oh, like, shit that. Mm. It's pretty cool. Brody Lee. Luke Harper was in it. He was there for a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But regardless, yeah, they're going to team up. So, I'm going to be trying to look at those matches, see how that works out and kind of the cool things they do there. So, shout out to Chikara. And that is all I got for news and rumors. All
right. Well, WrestleMania, they're going to ban beach balls. You excited about that? It's about fucking time.
I won't be there, so I guess I'm excited for EJ and JPL.
It's about, you know, well, hopefully they ban it at all the shows. It's one of those things where, you know, come on, let's not take away from the wrestling that's in the ring. Although, I sometimes say, you know, if you're entertaining in the ring, you may not have to deal with shit like that.
True, but it's still disrespectful.
Yeah, it is. It's the, but sometimes The fans have spoken. But actually, I am not a fan of it. I actually don't like the whole beach ball being a part of the show. I hate when people do that
when
shit.
When get myself over.
Yeah. Right. I hate it. But anyway, quick hits time. Quick hits, quick hits, quick hits, quick hits. Let's get into this. All right, first we got Asuka, Sasha Banks, and Bayley defeating the Raw Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, and Mickie James. And Sasha and Bayley, they still got their little problem going on. It showed his ugly face up in this match. I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but we may. Next, you got John Cena addressing his road to WrestleMania. The desperate John Cena. He wants to go against The Undertaker, but then they said, hey, look, nope, that's not in your plans. And so he said he's going to go to SmackDown and find a way to get himself into WrestleMania. He's wanting to get there by all means necessary. And he kind of cuts, sort of, to me, I don't know, maybe Jannar has a different take. His promo was kind of heelish. To a certain degree. You got the same feeling too?
Yeah.
I feel it coming, man. Look, I'm gonna have faith. I'm gonna have faith, man. I'm gonna pray on it, you know, and maybe it come true. After that, we got Bray Wyatt challenging Welcome Matt Hardy after he destroys Heath Slater and Rhino. He told Matt Hardy it's not over until he's no longer walking. He's talking about killing him. I mean, that kind of fucked up, but that's pretty much what he said. He said, I want to make sure your eyes don't open again. next, we got Seth Rollins defeating the IC champion, The Miz. But right after that, we got Finn Balor. And Seth Rollins wasn't happy about that. And then he goes and defeats the Intercontinental champion, The Miz. Then after that, Roman Reigns addresses the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar. They were supposed to have a face-to-face, but like Itz Miller said earlier on in the show, Brock Lesnar had a no-show. Whether if it was planned, contractual, whatever the fuck that happened, it was being promoted. They promoted it good 2 or 3 times on the actual show before they sit there and say, hey, Brock Lesnar ain't gonna show up. And he didn't. And then after that, we have the Raw Tag Team Champions, Cesaro and Sheamus, defeating Titus Worldwide in a 2 out of 3 falls match. How'd you feel about getting this match again right after a pay-per-view?
Don't worry, we'll talk about it.
Okay. That's what's up. Anyway, right after that, we got Braun Strowman defeating Elias via disqualification. What is going on with WWE? I'm kind of feeling the way they booking. I think this is where I was going with it. I feel like they are blurring some lines on the show, and it got me a little excited. Then we got Ronda Rousey confronting Triple H and Stephanie McMahon to end out the show. And after that, Triple H sucker punched Kurt Angle, which was fucking hilarious to me. And I felt like it was a pretty good way to end the show. That sucker punch. And then that, my friends, was Raw from Anaheim.
Anaheim.
Yeah. Anyway, your Raw, sir.
My Raw, I got kind of two. First, Rollins versus The Miz. That was a really, really good match. Rollins is on fire right now, man. He's like, that dude. Nothing like that man wrestling, I'm going to tell you that right now. Like the streak that he's on currently. You can tell he CrossFits. That's all I'm going to say.
CrossFit Jesus.
But definitely goes out to Roman Reigns, man. His promo, work shoot or not, was exactly what he needed to do. And I'm not saying that it's going to make everybody love him, because it's not. I don't think there's any way at this point to get that to happen. But there's one thing you have to, I think most people have to agree with, you have to respect him. Because what he said was straight up. And I think regardless of whether they guided him to say whatever he said, I think the sentiments that he expressed as far as with the locker room and whether we love him or hate him, he goes out and busts his ass every night. The proof is in the pudding. It's right there. He does go out. Regardless if we like his moveset, you know, someone like me or don't really like his character or whatever, night in and night out, he's the dude that's there and Brock Lesnar's not. And I think he kind of was the voice of the locker room and fans. Not necessarily the voice of, we want you to be the guy, but still voicing like, hey, I may not be the guy that you want, but I get where you're coming from. And that's why that promo felt authentic and real. And I think it was felt, you know, it was from the heart.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. This promo, and I said it immediately after he did it, you know, like, what the fuck? Where the fuck did this come from, Roman? Because, like, you've had the opportunity to shoot before, and you failed. But this time, he had the opportunity to shoot, and he went for it. And you can tell he was really shooting and shit, because he may have been fed certain things to say, but the fact that he kind of just didn't really know how to end it and stuff, let me know that, nah, this motherfucker is being real. Like, he really got a problem with this. And it's upsetting the shit out of him and stuff. And it is in the back, too. I'm pretty sure those other wrestlers have a problem with it. Like, man, come on. This dude ain't on the road like we. He getting paid all his money. And he can do shit like this, just not even show up. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's going to piss wrestlers off and shit like that, who's there day in and day out and stuff. So that promo was definitely something needed. It was great. And if you want to hear more of my thoughts and views on that promo, check out the GTS podcast, shameless plug, because I did get a little bit in depth into what should happen going forward with this Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns feud heading into WrestleMania 34. But my Raw, which is interesting that you said that Seth Rollins has been on fire, but man, the fact that The Miz had to go back to back against Seth Rollins and Finn Balor and put on two good, entertaining, damn matches. My Raw has to go to The Miz. And it's kind of crazy because you don't sit there and you don't look at The Miz as somebody who can even do something like this. Like, it wasn't like he went, put on a good damn match against Seth Rollins, and then, all right, he's so damn tired, now he's facing Finn Balor, and then he just lose and shit like that. Nah. He get in that match, devise a plan real quick, like, hey, look, let's attack this motherfucker and shit, because I just had a grueling match. Nah, we're going to have to kick his ass real quick. That happened, and then they put on an entertaining damn match and stuff. Even though the Mistrage and the other Balor Club members came down to help. You know, before that, when that happened and shit, this match was, it was good. Shit. Damn, I got distracted again. My damn feet about to die. Anyway. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I think he did a pretty good damn job at showcasing his own skill level and who he is and stuff like that, which we already know who The Miz is and everything, but just being able to go out there and do it with the top guys, I think, in this industry and shit, and try to make his own mark and stamp, because we don't look at The Miz as somebody who's one of the best wrestlers and shit. We never really give him that and stuff, but we know he can get in there and he can go and stuff, you know. And I think if The Miz can continue doing shit like that, hey, maybe one day we will start saying, hey, damn, The Miz is probably one of the greatest wrestlers. As long as he can get in there and do these type of things and have these type of matches and shit. I'm always been a Miz guy, but I'm never going to sit there and say, oh man, the Miz is one of the greatest wrestlers until he really starts showing that he can be one of the greatest wrestlers. And they haven't really kind of showcased that, because, I mean, they had the opportunity back at WrestleMania, whatever, when him and John Cena went against each other. But instead, they wanted to have John Cena kind of destroy him. But even though he still lost, John Cena still lost that match. You know, it was the way they've been booking him. But they did it differently and shit. Yeah, so your bad, sir.
My bad was Cesaro against Titus Worldwide in a best out of three falls match. And here's why. First of all, SmackDown just did that. Like, I don't like the copycat booking, so that was annoying. But also, you just had a good match that could cap off a feud, right? Mm-hmm. Why overkill it with another one for no reason at all, other than for them to, at the end, say, you know, at WrestleMania, they're going to have an open challenger, or whatever they talked about. My issue is, what was the point in this match? Like, why are we doing pointless rematches the day after a pay-per-view match? It seems silly to me, and it takes away from me caring. This is why it's hard to invest in some feuds sometimes or some of the matches, because when we do, and you think that was the culmination, like that's it, that did it, they redo it on Raw the next night.
Yeah.
And for no other reason than to just kind of promote what's going to happen next. But you could have just done a promo without that. They beat Titus Worldwide at Elimination Chamber. That should have been it. So that really annoyed me.
You know what? For no reason. You changed my bad. I'm going to hot tag this one. And only because I came up with an idea. Because really what should have happened was they should have went against the Revival. Because they are literally the only other tag team they haven't really defeated on the show, right? And one of the only tag teams they haven't feuded with. Now, if you'd have had the bar go against them 2 weeks in a row, because we got, what, close to 6 weeks before we hit WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have them go over the Revival to the next three matches. You know, they beat them and shit. Then maybe now you can sit there and say, we're the bar. We defeated all the tag teams on Raw. We're looking for a challenge and stuff like that. We want something new. And then now, you know, if the plan is I think the plan might be the Authors of Pain. That's just me. Or maybe it is going to be the Revival. Maybe that open challenge is going to be, hey, we're going to have the Revival challenge them or whatever. But if you're going to go with the storyline that, hey, look, we beat everybody, then have them beat everybody and then throw out that open challenge. And then don't throw out an open challenge and we're just going to leave it like that. I didn't like that part neither. That, to me, bothered me. I mean, it may not have bothered other people. Maybe they sit there like, look, we can wait till the following week or whatever, you know, whenever they decide to do it. But I just don't know. I feel like if you're going to throw it out an open challenge right then and there, I think they should have been openly challenged right then and there. You got the Revival right there in the back. Why wasn't they the ones coming out and openly challenging that? Instead, you want to run the storyline where the Revival were on Twitter and saying, how come they're not getting their championship opportunity? Well, these motherfuckers just offered a championship opportunity to you and you didn't take it. So I'm confused. I don't understand where they're going with that. But yeah, that was my bad too. My fault. Anyway, you're ugly.
Not ugly? Ronda Rousey's promo. And I'm not going to blame Ronda Rousey, because I thought her parts worked for me. I totally got, like, confused and lost when Kurt was like, they didn't say that. And I get where they're going to go with this, right?
Mm.
But it was just so silly. It was just so corny, and she's stuck in this corny promo, and I feel like she actually did pretty well, because this time it seemed more, you know, realistic, I guess you would say. Like, it didn't seem so scripted in a sense where she was overdoing it or underdoing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the problem is when you're in a corny storyline, doesn't matter how well you do it. If it sucks, it sucks. And it was just corny. Like, Stephanie's all like, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm just going to go now. Like, you know what I mean? And then he sucker punched Kurt Angle, and she, Ronda's looking back at them, and it's like, oh, man, I feel bad for Ronda.
Yo, look, like, that so sucker goofy. Punch was so fucking hilarious, dude. That shit was hilarious. It was like, he was like, yeah, when he sucker punched him, man. It was like he almost called him a bitch when he did it. He sucker punched him and hurried up and got out the ring. He walked away. That shit was hilarious, man. I ain't gonna lie. I started laughing. I literally started cracking up when I saw that shit. Shit. But, you got more to add to that?
No, man. I mean, it was just, it wasn't a train wreck, but it was like, it was a bumpy ride. How about that? Like, it just was, I was like, man, this is so corny. Like, they didn't really say that, and I was mistaken. Like, oh my God, really? That's where we're going to go with this?
Yeah.
And then they had the limo pull up, which meant nothing, and I just, all the stuff that happened just seemed all, like, they didn't finish writing the script and weren't sure what they wanted to do.
Yeah. You know, I can see that. I can see it. You look, that was never, none of the stuff was in my ugly, to tell you the truth. Look, guess what? I didn't have an ugly. And I'm going to explain why and stuff. This is where I do want to give WWE some props and shit. After I shit on them during the Elimination Chamber part of this podcast. Look, man, they're doing something that really not something WWE really does and shit, and that's blur lines and shit. Because it started with this Sasha Banks and Bayley, you know, they both, you know, face, and they kind of blurring this line as to who do you choose in this feud, because really they only really getting mad at each other because they've been put in a situation where they're friends, but then when it comes down to when it's all the women for themselves, they'll turn on each other. More often it was happening for Sasha to turn on Bayley or whatever and shit. But they kind of blurring that line because now it seems like Bayley is the one that's going to be turning heel while Sasha is going to be the babyface still and shit. You know what I mean? Versus it's really Sasha being that and Bayley still staying a babyface. So you know, they kind of blurring that line with us and shit like that. Then the Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. Seth Rollins looking at him like, the fuck, man? Like, you trying to come and steal my spotlight? Like, I wasn't just in this match with this guy and just and put him down and shit. Now you come get my sloppy seconds and shit? Like, so they blurring that line. And who do you choose? Who do you back in a feud between those two? Like, you know, they putting us in this situation where we have to choose. And I actually like it. And then you got Braun Strowman. Look, I want everybody to catch these hands. But then you got Elias. I walk with Elias. Now you got them feuding against each other and shit. And I mean, I'm just sitting here and I literally, after I drop my kids off, I usually just start fast forwarding shit. But I actually watched all of Raw. The only thing I fast forward through was the damn commercials. I actually enjoy Raw.
Look at you.
I know. And I said, damn, it's because of the way they actually booked the show. You know, maybe I didn't like the challenge from Bray Wyatt. But whatever, I can get past that. That was whatever and shit. You know, it wasn't a Raw bad end or ugly. It was just, I was indifferent about it. Because I'm still like, now that Matt Hardy won, now let's see what they do. And shit. Now can they make this a legitimate feud? So I'm interested to see where they go with it and stuff. But yeah. Other than that, look, it was a pretty entertaining damn Raw. I'm glad I was able to watch that and enjoy it and shit, because it's not often that you get to, especially when they're on the road to WrestleMania. Now, you might get some trash-ass shit, and then usually they start performing. Yeah, because usually the best Raw is always the Raw after WrestleMania. I felt like this Raw was pretty damn good and shit. And it all worked out because fucking Brock didn't show up too. So I didn't have to hear a long-ass Paul Heyman monologue, which is going to be hit and miss sometimes because what is he going to call him? That badass Samoan and all that? Like, I mean, something I already heard before. Can he give me something new? And it's not like I, no disrespect to Paul Heyman. I like what he does, but man, I don't know if I can go through a whole another 6 weeks of Paul Heyman and his monologues about Roman Reigns being a badass Samoan and Brock Lesnar is going to put him down and shit like that. No, I just don't want to go through that. So I'm not really interested. So that was like a blessing in disguise itself that Brock didn't show up and shit. So it was a pretty good damn Raw because of it. So let's see what they do going forward. See what happens next week. And see if they listen to the GTS podcast and steal my ideas. And so, you know.
I'm curious.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see if they do. I hope they do. Knock on wood.
They should. No, I'm just
kidding. No, they should. No, trust me. When you hear it, you're going to be like, oh, shit. This motherfucker's on something. They definitely should. They should definitely steal my idea. I'm giving it to them for free. They should steal my idea on Brock Roman Reigns, and they should steal my idea on John Cena. And I'm telling you, it'd be fucking gold. I should be a WWE writer. I should be on creative. They should just have me come in and actually fix whatever storylines that they already started writing and shit. That's what they need me to do. Like, how can we make this better? How can we sit there and do something where fans are going to be like, oh man, this is good? That's what they should do. They should just hire me and bring me in for that. But anyway, so let's talk wrestling. You want to talk about this Fox News? This Fox trying to buy the rights to WWE.
Well, WWE programming.
Yeah, programming. Yeah, you know. Well, they want to have. Yeah, that's true. Got to make sure it's right. How do you feel about it?
I think WWE is good where they're at. I think they tried this before when they moved to TNN, which was Spike TV, which is now Paramount Network. So you kind of see the trend there. I'm not saying Fox is going to fold or something. I just think that for the nature of the business that WWE presents, it's best suited to be on USA. They don't have a problem with the content. They know how it works. It's you know, like, the grass isn't always greener type thing. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, fine, they offer you $400 million, but you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Are you going to get that many more people into the product that don't already watch it? Like, what are you gaining from Fox? Oh, granted, Fox has, I believe, 114 million homes that it'd be in, and they're offering to put WWE on broadcast channels as well. So it'd be across the broadcast channels for Raw, so basically, as part of the Monday night lineup on Fox, it'd be Raw. But it would cut Raw to 2 hours rather than three.
Yeah.
So there's that one thing, which isn't that huge of a deal. But again, it's one of those things where it's like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with at USA. You've been down this road before. I feel like you'd be right back at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like they already did.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. The only thing I would say to you is, like, it would be a big deal if they cut it from 3 to 2, though. The only reason why I say that is because, I see where you're coming from. Because WWE doesn't really do anything with that third hour. They don't really take advantage of it like they should. And hopefully one day when Triple H takes over, he'll be able to do something with that and take advantage of having that third hour and shit like that versus we watching a whole hour of promos and shit. But look, my thing about it being on Fox and shit, I think the way WWE kind of looks at it, if they consider actually going to Fox, is that what you said, they're going to be in 114 million homes. You know, that can probably give them a nice spike in the ratings for Monday Night Raw and shit. I mean, I said it probably could. I ain't saying that it will and shit. I said it probably could. You know, I think Fox I think that's Fox, you know, a lot of people, we always know Fox to be the conservative network. But really, it's their news that's conservative.
Right, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, their shows are very...
My favorite show, Family Guy's on Fox.
Mm. Right, their shows are very much liberal. I would say that. So with that said, and with them allowing, you know, like, shit like Family Guy, I shouldn't call it shit, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that it's shit. I actually love Family Guy. With shows like Family Guy, they allow them to kind of Seth MacFarlane. They allow Seth MacFarlane to kind of blur those lines and stuff. And WWE is already PG, but if they wanted to blur those lines, I think they would have the freedom to do that on Fox and shit. But with that said, you know, I think with the freedom that USA has allowed WWE to have now, I think they should stay and shit. But obviously, if the money ain't right, if the money is funny and USA ain't really trying to pay them, you got to do what you got to do. But I definitely think they should stay on USA. I mean, USA made sacrifices for you too. I mean, they look. Remember the times where we would not get a Monday Night Raw because they wanted to show a dog show? Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that no longer happens. And shit. You know what I mean? And on top of that, now when they do the troops thing, you get 3 nights where you can sit there. You can do your Monday Night Raw. Well, not 3 nights. You get a whole week, pretty much. But you can do your Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Tribute to the Troops. You know what I mean? They have given you all this other stuff. Will Fox let you have that, though? Will Fox let you dedicate a whole week and shit to for Tribute to the Troops and shit like that? You know what I mean? And celebrate WWE and everything. Will Fox allow you to do that? I don't know. See, I don't know all the other nuances that come in this contract. And for now, all I can say is, I know what I'm getting with USA. And maybe you should stay your ass there. And stuff. So I'm with you. Don't go nowhere. You don't need to go to Fox. You know what I mean? Unless you really think that you're going to be able to pull in another million or maybe 2 million views. Because you're on TV where, you know, pretty much anybody has access to it. As long as you have a TV and a damn antenna. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you think you're going to get those views? Man, shit, we don't know though. You know, I think that'd be one hell of a gamble. But hey, if you trust in yourself, you know, do what you gotta do. But anyway, you have anything else to add before I go?
Nope.
All right then. Well, with that said, be sure to check out 1515 Nav and all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Just type in 1515F. You'll find a podcast such as Legal Opposites, Lace Them Up, Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Studio Flow, the MWT Podcast, Mac and D Talk TV, and of course, the Wrestling Roundtable Podcast, which features the GTS Podcast, RBU Podcast, and or pay-per-view and special event podcast that we would do. Do we have anything coming up anytime soon? Huh? Okay. Well, since we have nothing else coming up, be sure to click on the Amazon banner. Go support the site. If you need to buy anything, just go through our site to do it. And we would greatly appreciate it. With that said, it's me, Sterl the Pro.
It's Miller.
And we out.